Episode 1797, My Strength is My Story with Dr. O.S. Hawkins, The Passion Code.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo. Staring at
a stop sign, happy, happy day. Today is my favorite day of the week. It is My Strength is My Story series, and we have with us Dr. O.S. Hawkins in the house. Yes, he is back again. We talked about the Nehemiah Code the last time. Today, it's the Passion Code, 100 Days with Jesus. For those of you who are brand new to Create Your Now, friends and family of Dr. Hawkins, welcome to our family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you haven't had the opportunity, you'll want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and sign up for the KISSES newsletter, the Keep It Simple Strategy, Everyday Solutions to Live, Love, and Impact. Well, our chat yesterday was absolutely incredible, and I'm telling you, Dr. Hawkins' message is so timely. The Passion Code is so rich. And looking at today's day, day 12, the code word is expectation. I got a question for you. What are you expecting God to do in your life today? And then when I flip to day 66, the code word is influence. What are you allowing God to do in your life today to influence the world that you touch? Dr. Hawkins' words are going to move your heart. They're going to shake you up this season. And sometimes we need a little good shake. And you know what? The Passion Code is going to give that to you. So without further ado, let's welcome in Dr. O.S. Hawkins, The Passion Code. Hello and welcome to Create Your Now. I am so excited. We have a theologian and doctor in the house today, Dr. O.S. Hawkins. He is a husband of 49 years to his beautiful wife, Susan. They have two daughters who are married and have six grandchildren. He has served pastorates, including the First Baptist Church in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, for more than 25 years. Dr. Hawkins is the president of Guidestone Financial Resources, serving over 250,000 pastors, church staff members, missionaries, doctors, university professors, and other Christian organizations. He speaks regularly to business groups and churches across the nation. When Dr. Hawkins has a moment to catch his breath, you'll find him writing as he's authored more than 40 books. You may recognize a few of them, the Daniel Code, the Joshua Code, the James Code, and we actually had him here speaking about the Nehemiah Code. But today his brand new book is The Passion Code, 100 Days with Jesus. Welcome, my friend and brother in Christ. How are you?
I'm good, man. I sound really old after listening to that introduction. Good night.
It is a mouthful if I say so myself.
Yeah. Oh. So it's great to be with you again.
Oh, well, it's definitely my pleasure. Well, it is the holiday season as we're recording this. And so I have to ask you, what brings you joy?
Oh, what brings me joy is, of course, the message of this new book, The Passion Code, because a passionate longing to know the Lord, and the more you know about Him, the less you know about Him. So that's why we grow in grace and knowledge. What brings me joy is my family. Got a beautiful family. I'm so blessed, and I'm just grateful.
What do you do to celebrate the holidays? What is one tradition that's like you can't live without?
Well, this year we are going to be, my wife and my two daughters and their husbands and our six grandkids are going to spend Christmas Eve in Bethlehem, actually. So that's going to be a pretty good little Christmas for us. We're praying and trusting and looking forward to it. Susie and I have been there. I've been every year since 1974, and many of those times, two and three times. So, but the grandkids have never been, so we're going to look forward to a great Christmas there in Bethlehem.
Oh, wow. Seeing it through the eyes of a child. What a blessing.
Yeah, really. That's a good point. That's really a good point.
That's going to be gorgeous. Oh, I can do. Oh, already I'm going to tear up, but we can't do that because we've got too much to talk about.
Good.
Well, this is your eighth book in the Code series, I believe, or maybe I've forgotten one or two of them, but I think there's eight so far.
Yeah, this is the ninth, actually.
Oh, this is the ninth. Okay. Oh, my goodness. See, I have forgotten a few of them. So this is the ninth book. When you started writing the series, what was your vision for the Code series?
It just evolved. The first one was the Joshua Code, 52 scripture verses every believer should know. You know, I realized that people had a hard time getting into the Bible. New believers and people, older people that come to faith, or people that just want to know God. It's just a big, black, thick book to people who've never read it. And so they start in Genesis, and if they make it to Leviticus, then they just throw their hands up in the air. Or if they start in the New Testament, they don't get past the first chapter of Matthew because they can't pronounce half those names of the 42 names that are listed in the genealogy. So what I did, I picked 52 verses that if you learn those verses and know those verses, the message behind them, you'll know the whole message of the Bible. And so it's a verse for each week. You memorize a verse. There's a devotional thought for it. And so we started with just the Joshua Code, hadn't planned on doing anything else. And God blessed it, and it took off, sold a few hundred thousand copies. And so Thomas Nelson, you know, said, we need to do something else. So I was reading just devotionally in the Gospels, and I was taken by the times Jesus asked questions. You know, he was omniscient. He knew everything, but he was always asking questions. And I got so intrigued by it, I counted them, and there are 150 that he asked in the Gospels. And the Bible says in the last book of last chapter of John that if everything Jesus said and did had been recorded, all the books of the world couldn't contain it. But 150 times he asked a question. He didn't need answers. He knew the answers. But he was wanting us, it was his method of getting us to see that it's okay to ask questions. And so I picked 52 questions in the Bible that I believe every believer should be able to answer before they get to heaven. Like Job's question, if a man dies, will he live again? Like Jesus' question, who do you say that I am? And so there are 52 questions I believe we all ought to answer before we get to heaven. That was the Jesus Code. And then we followed it up with several of these. And the ones that have really taken off are the Easter Code and the Christmas Code. The Christmas Code is an Advent devotional, sold over 500,000 copies last year. And I can talk about this because all of our royalties, we'll talk about in a minute, go to Mission Dignity. So I don't get anything off of them. But the Easter Code and the Christmas Code have sold close to 1 million just themselves. So
that's incredible. I mean, that's a ministry in itself, Dr. Hopkins.
Yeah. What we try to do with the code books is it's not about getting people into the Word. It's about getting the Word into people. And once we get that word into our lives and get it incarnated in our lives, it makes a huge difference in what we think and how we act and how we live.
Well, and you write this book, The Passion Code, and I love words. Why passion?
Okay, because I got so tired of hearing people say, Christians say, talk about their passion. He has a passion for golf. She has a passion for painting, or she has a passion for accounting, or something like that. He has a passion for law. No passion a believer ought to have in life should exceed our passion for Christ, that abandonness to want to know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fullness of His Spirit. And so the Passion Code is 100 days with Jesus. If we can just get folks to take this 100-day journey through the Passion Code, I believe they'll come to a new level of Christian experience.
Well, and you take the Passion Code and you divide it into three parts: God with us, God for us, God in us. And when I looked at the book initially, I immediately thought of the Trinity. What was the purpose of arranging it in this manner?
Well, you're on target, because all of life is in a triad. You talked about the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What about you and our makeup? Every here, we are made up of three parts: spirit, soul, and body. Now, we don't talk about it that way. When you hear somebody talk about that, you know what they say? Body, soul, and spirit. Why do they put body first? Because the Bible doesn't. It's because we are so body conscious. We're so physical conscious. But we're made up of spirit, soul, and body. The body, the physical dimension that's going to go back to dust. The soul is the seat of our emotion, our personality, who we are. The spirit, that's that inner core. That's that part of us that'll live as long as God lives. So we're made up of these three individuals. So there are only three relationships in life. You only have three relationships. Everybody listening today only has three relationships in life. There's an outward expression. That's relationship we have with each other in the social arena, at church or at the office or in home. We connect with each other. At the end of every great creative act in Genesis, God stopped and he spoke and he said, that's good. He made the sea and he said, that's good. He made the land. He said, that's good. He divided the sea and land. He said, that's good. He made the vegetation. He said, that's good. He made animal life. He said, that's good. He put the stars and moon. He said, that's good. He made man. And then he said something else. He said, not good. He said, it's not good for man to be alone. We're made to connect with each other in these interpersonal outward relationships. Then we have another relationship. That's the inward relationship. That's the relationship we have ourselves. Some people call it self-worth, self-esteem, whatever you want to call it. You get up in the morning and you put on your makeup, or you get up in the morning and shave. And in fact, in our world today, some people do both of those things now, I guess. But the truth of the matter is we have a relationship with ourselves. And what's going on within ourselves usually translates to what's going on in the outward relationship. If I'm mad at myself, if I'm not careful, I go home and throw it off on Susie, my wife. And so we have a relationship with ourselves, but there's one other relationship that differentiates us from all the other order, and that is that we have a relationship, an upward relationship. We have the capacity to come into relationship with God through Jesus Christ and know him in the intimacy of father and child. So what's the bottom line? We're never properly related to each other until we're properly related to ourselves. And that never happens until we find our self-worth and our self-identity in what Paul said in Colossians 1, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And when we find Christ in us, and that's who we are, then we translate his love to others in those relationships. So this the Passion Code, as you said, is divided into these three areas. And if you'd like to, I can even explain a little bit more about how that plays out.
I would love that.
Okay. Well, for example, God with us, the incarnation, he came to be with us. Emmanuel, call his name Emmanuel, the angel said, which being interpreted as God with us. He clothed himself in human flesh. Why? He could have come when he was 33 and died on a cross for our sins, but he became as helpless as a seed planted in the womb of a young teenage girl. He was born in dung and filth in a stable as a baby. So he grew up so he could say to all of us, wherever we are in life, I understand. A little baby's got a dirty diaper. Crying, Jesus can say, hey, I understand. I've been there. I know that. A little kid bored and restless sit in church. He said, man, I understand. If you think that guy was boring, you should have heard the rabbi in our synagogue in Nazareth. A teenager. Nobody understands a teenager today, but Jesus says, hey, I understand. I was a teenager one day. Somebody's tempted to sin. Somebody's listening right now is tempted to some sin. And Jesus says, hey, I understand that. I was tempted in all points, as are you, but without sin. Maybe somebody, one of your listeners is afraid to die. Or maybe they've heard of the doctor's report and said, you've got cancer. Maybe they're afraid to die. Jesus can say, I understand. I went to Gethsemane's garden and said, Lord, if it's possible, let this pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine. So he came to be with us. God is with us right now. And then he came, we see not only God with us in the Passion Code, but we see God for us. In that while we were yet sinners, Romans 5:8 says, Christ died for us. And so he could never have come to die for us if he hadn't come to be with us. And all of that so that the last section, the larger section, God in us. the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And we talk about these three areas of life. It's true and all about the relationship with God. You know, the Holy Spirit in us is a forgotten subject in people's lives today. He's sort of the forgotten person of the Trinity with a lot of believers. You know, when Paul took the gospel to Ephesians in Acts 19, he's talking to them about the Holy Spirit. Now, these people had already been baptized, but in Acts 19, too, they said to Paul, they said, "We've not even heard so much that there is a Holy Spirit. Who is he?" And the night before the crucifixion, Jesus said, "I'm going to leave you another comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will abide with you forever." And you know, when you go to the language of the New Testament Greek, there are two words we translate another. One is heteros. It means we get our word heterosexual from that. We're human beings, but here's a male and here's a female. We're different in that, but it's another. Here's another human being. The other one is allos. It means the same kind. You know, if I say I've got a pen right here, if I had this fountain pen, but then I have a big plastic 19-cent pen on this other hand, I could say, here's a pen, here's another pen. But if I wanted to say, if I had two pens just like this, I'd say, I would use allos. Here's a pen, here's another one. Same make and same model. And that's the word Jesus used when he said, "I'm going to send you another comforter." It's the same make and same model. The Holy Spirit's Jesus. It's the Spirit of Jesus. And so he came to be in us. And so, no matter who we are, where we are, if we come to know Christ, he comes to live in us by his Holy Spirit, never to leave us, never to empower us for service. And there's so much about this in the Passion Code, about the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit, the importance of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you got time, we can talk in a moment about how these three things play out in both of those issues.
Well, definitely. And I want to touch on, there's 100 days in the Passion Code. Mm-hmm. And because we're recording this during the holiday season, I was really kind of stuck on part one a little bit, if I could be honest with you. I'm going to get through all of them, and I've been through all of them.
That's great.
But I got stuck on day five. And you have a code word in each of these days, which I got to ask you why a code word. But I want to use it as an example. Your code word on day five was crop.
Right.
Talk a little bit about that.
Well, each day has a code word we remember so that it'll help us to remember the text. So that particular day is an interesting thing. For example, let me give your listeners a little test right now. Everybody just put your hand over your watch face right now. And now I want to ask you a question. Now that watch you look at dozens, scores of times a day. Some of us have been wearing it for years, same watch. Are the numerals on that watch Arabic? Are they Roman? Are they dots? Are they just marks? Are there a combination of them on there? Or what are they? And you may be sure, but I'm going to tell you the majority of people couldn't tell you that. And if you look at it, you may be right or you may be wrong. But my point is, there are a lot of things we see, but we don't really see. And so take the nativity, and this is what that devotional is about. Take the nativity. We see it. We a lot of us have olive wood nativity sets we put out at Christmas. We see nativity scenes in malls. We get Christmas cards, and dozens of them have the nativity. We see the nativity everywhere, but do we see it? Because, I've got this iPhone, which a lot of people have smartphone, and the cameras on these are great. But there's one great feature of this camera. And that is that you can take a picture and then you can crop it down, crop it in. So, for example, we got a picture of our family. Great picture, Susie and me and our six grandkids in the middle and our daughters on either side with their husbands. And so I love that picture, but my grandkids and I have a common enemy, and it's their parents. And so I took that picture and I just cropped out their parents on either end. Now I've got a really great picture of me and the grandkids in the middle. So let's do that with the nativity. When you look at the big picture, what do you see? It's a worship service. People from heaven, people from earth, they're all gathered there and everybody is bowing and worshiping. The angels are hovering like drones, singing glory to God in the highest. The shepherds have come up and said, let's see this thing which has come to pass. And they come up there and they fall on their face before him in worship. The wise men, now we know they didn't come at to the manger. They came months later, but in our nativity scenes, we have them there bowing down, presenting gifts of gold, frankincense. The whole place is exploding with worship. Christmas is about worship. It's about worshiping Christ. But you know what? When you crop that down, you come in the middle, and you know what you find in the middle? A family. There's Mary and Joseph and the babe. Christmas is about family. And a lot of your listeners who are going to be stacked up in airports, are going to drive hundreds of miles in their cars to go home, to sleep on the floor or on the couch and get a crick in their neck for the next 2 weeks. Why? Because we want to go home for Christmas. Christmas is about family. It's about family. There's Mary. She pondered those things in her heart. Sumbabalo is the Greek word. Same word if you were cooking a cake or something. You put all those ingredients in it and you just stir it up. That's the word you use. She was pondering, stirring these things up in her mind. The angel's message, all those prophecies, everything she had heard, and she pondered it. Joseph is there. He's the forgotten man at the manger. Everybody in the Christmas story has a carol about them. The shepherds do. They have a carol. The star has a carol. The wise men, we three kings of Orient are, Mary, round yon, virgin, mother and child. Everybody in the Christmas story has a carol written about them except Joseph. Everybody in the Christmas story is quoted except Joseph. What did Mary say? My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit is rejoiced in God my Savior. The shepherd said, let us go unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. The wise men said, where is he born King of the Jews? The wise people in the temple, when they brought him to birth, they said, let my servant depart in peace, my eyes. Everybody is quoted except Joseph. Not one word he ever says in the Bible. Because what's important about Joseph, it's not what he said, but what he did. And the whole Christmas story hinges on his faithfulness. He's up there in Nazareth. His fiance is pregnant. He knows he's never had relationship with her. And the angel, he knows, the angel says, don't be afraid to take her as your wife. That's the Holy Spirit in her. And he obeyed. He knew he's going to be the brunt of every barroom joke in Nazareth. But he obeyed, and he left, and they went to Bethlehem. They got there after the babe was born. Herod's going to kill all those little babies. And an angel of the Lord came to him and said, Joseph, get up and take the child into Egypt. He obeyed. They got down in Egypt, and then the Lord said, go back to Nazareth. And he obeyed. Every time we find him, he's obeying the word of God. What a father. You know, God entrusted his own son with a human family because God is pro-family. And Christmas is about family. But crop it one more time, and you come to the center, and you find the Christ child. Christmas is about Jesus. It's about Jesus only. And I love Rembrandt's portrait of the Nativity. It's everything is shrouded in shadow. And one great beam of light comes down on the Christ child so that nothing takes away from him. Christmas is really about Jesus. So that devotion is there about that. And then the word is crop. And so that day, every time you pick up your phone or if you take a picture, let it be a reminder to you that Christmas is about Jesus, that when you crop everything down, Jesus is in the center. So every one of these chapters has a word like that, to apply, to put it into practice. Because as James said, and we talked about this in the James Code, God wants us to be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. You know, the Code series has sold over 1.5 million copies in the last 4 years. But I would rather my readers do one chapter than to read 100. And because it's about applying it to our lives.
That's so important, Dr. Hawkins. We need to have that life application all the time. And I think a lot of people use the excuse, I'm so busy. Mm-hmm. What has spending time with the Lord brought you that maybe would help someone who's saying, oh, my calendar doesn't have time necessarily to spend time with God?
Well, you know, time is, in this world today, time's our most valuable commodity. you know, just trying to find time to do this and that. So it has to, it all boils down to what your priorities are. And, you know, it's hard to give out if you don't take in. And so you got to take in, you got to pray. And for me, it's always early in the morning because your mind is fresh. The phone is not ringing. I never made sense to me that people would do the devotionals and pray at night when the day was already gone. So it's just a matter of priority. And I don't think any of us think we pray enough, or I know I don't. I'm ashamed at how little I do. But the more you know Christ, the less you know Him. The more you pray, the more you see you think you need to pray. So it, you know, every day's a gift, and we need to make the best of it and give priority to Christ. Making sure, as this theme of this book is, that your passion for Christ exceeds your passion for work, or your passion. Some people have a passion for work. The reason they don't have a devotional life is that's their passion's their work. If their passion was really Christ, they'd find time. They'd get up, set your alarm 30 minutes earlier, an hour earlier. And, you know, the way you do it is, when you wake up, get up. I mean, when that alarm goes off, don't lay there, get up. When you get up, bounce up. Don't just drag out of bed, bounce up. When you bounce up, fix up. Take a shower, get cleaned up, get ready, and then have your devotional. And I found out that's about the only way I can get it done.
Well, yeah, because stuff just gets in the way, whether it's your tummy growling at you or the grandkids are pulling on you going, come on, Grandpa, let's go do something. Well, you mentioned Mission at Dignity.
Yeah, thank you.
And that the proceeds go to that. Talk a little bit about that so people understand.
Yeah, we're on a mission to bring dignity to some forgotten folks here at Guidestone. And that's retired pastors and their widows living down there at the poverty level. There's so many pastors in the country, and a couple of thousand of them are in our program, who pastored out in the highways and the crossroads and of life, seemingly forgotten places. They never made enough money to live on, much less to prepare for retirement. And most of them lived in a home that was a church-owned parsonage or pastorium they had to get out of when they got older and vocationally retired. And so we found them there, and they're just living in dire straits. And so 15 years ago, we'd raised enough money to help them with $50 a month. That helped them. Now the neediest among them get $600 a month. And one little pastor's widow, 87 years old, wrote me recently, and she said, I get to eat at night now, and it's not just a piece of toast. And so it's really being Christ's hand extended to these people. And all the royalties from the Passion Code, and they're beautiful leather-bound gift editions. I think they retail on Amazon for $12 or $14, but all the royalties to all the code books go to support these people. So every time somebody buys one or gives it as a Christmas gift, they know that all the royalties and all the proceeds go to serve these folks that are there. And as I said, we've sold a million and a half copies. I've never made one thin dime off of it, but it's all gone to these precious people that were served through Mission Dignity.
Well, I know God's heart is on fire for you, Dr. Hodkins, in everything that you're doing and how you're serving. I'm so excited that people are going to be able to get their hands on your brand new book, The Passion Code. Of course, we'll have all the information in the show notes, but where can they find you? If they're just like itching to find you right now.
I would welcome them to just come to oshawkins.com, oshawkins.com. And they can find out all the information about the code books there. There's also hundreds of free devotional and leadership principles and guides there. There are messages, there are articles, there are videos. My wife, Susie, has a tremendous ministry to women. She's got a lot of her blog, all of her stuff on that site. So there's just a whole lot of free stuff there. Then there's also the way I've got a lot of free book downloads on there. So a lot of my earlier books that are now out of print are free book downloads on there. So people can just go in there and download them free. And then it also shows you there where to get the Passion Code, or the Joshua Code, or the Jesus Code, or these devotionals, or the Christmas Code, or any of them. So you can find out everything you need to know about Mission Dignity or this at oshawkins.com.
We'll be sure to have that in the show notes. Now, I know your schedule is jam-packed, so I have one last question before you go.
Okay.
It is the holiday season. What has writing the Passion Code gifted you personally?
Well, it just keeps all that in my, to me, the code word is passion. And so, you know, I love to play golf. I love my work. I still come in here every morning, 6:30 every morning. I love what we do here. I still preach almost every Sunday somewhere in some church across the country. And so I still write all the time. I'm always, when I finish one book, I'm starting the next one. And so I've got a lot of things that I'm passionate about. My wife, my kids, my grandkids. I've got a real stewardship with the grandkids now. But so the one thing I take from it is every time I do an interview or every time I look at that word passion, it just reminds me that the most important passion I can have is for Christ. And if I've got a passion for Christ, if I love Christ more than anything in this world, I love Susie more than I ever have. And everything I do in my life will be better if I put him in priority, in first place. So he needs to be the passion, the most important passion of life.
Amen. Merry Christmas and a happy, blessed new year, Dr. Hawkins.
Thank you so much. Blessings on you. Bye-bye.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.